Happy holidays. Today, I want to talk about suffering. Sorry, everybody out there. I'm going to wander around, and then you're just going to lose me occasionally, okay? It's the way I am. I apologize for that. Today, we're going to talk about suffering. I wore this shirt today to give myself some street creds when we're talking about suffering. If you have ever watched Gamecock football, then you know that we suffer continually, year after year. And somehow we're gluttons for punishment in that as well, and keep coming back to it. But anyway, this time of year can be really, really, really difficult for those that are suffering, for people that are in pain, and they're experiencing loss. It can be so hard to be apart from your loved ones, or to be separated, to be at a distance or experiencing death and loss during the holiday season. We like to think about the kind of trappings of Christmas and all those fun things that go along with it, but we often forget the people that are suffering around us. And for those of us that are suffering, it's even more difficult because we see this kind of joy in people's lives and in their hearts and in their, you know, there's kind of connections with family and all of those things that make holidays special, right? That make this time such a special time. But there's this thing that's inside of people, and those of us that are suffering often like to hide that suffering. And so we may not even know that the people we're coming in contact with, the people that are sitting around you this morning, are experiencing loss, are experiencing suffering, are experiencing those really deep emotional things that are just kind of crushing in some ways. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit today about suffering and what it means and what it means in our lives. I'm going to admit that our family's experiencing some suffering right now, and that this is a little bit self-indulgent for me because I've spent a fair bit of time kind of contemplating this and digging into scriptures and thinking about suffering recently. And so this is some of the things that have just kind of come out of that study for me and that kind of thinking about where I am with God and where he is in my life and those sorts of things. And so I just want to share that with you, and I'm going to try to encourage you through that today. We're going to look at a couple passages today that have no relationship to each other, other than there's a little bit of suffering in both of them. But I think that God is really, it does some really neat stuff in the Bible, and one of my favorite things that happens in the Bible is that there's these kind of, if you think of the Bible as a tapestry, or a big wall hanging cloth, there's these threads that run through scriptures, and just like threads are woven into tapestry, and if you pull on those threads, you can kind of see where these things pop up periodically in these tapestries. And so today we're going to pull on the suffering thread, and we're going to look a little bit about how that comes up in these different places in the Bible and how it affects our lives. The first passage I want to read is 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 14. Sorry, those of you at home, I'm low tech, and so I don't do this sort of stuff. So I'm just going to read you the passage. Says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. For this reason, I remember you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God gave up, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I will appoint a herald and an apostle and a teacher. I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know who I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted in him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the partner of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So I think the first thing to notice in this passage, and maybe the most important thing to notice in this passage, is that when Paul is talking about suffering here, he doesn't say if. He's talking about when. So listen to me. You are going to suffer. As a Christian, you're going to suffer. I don't care what the media tells you. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what what popular culture says. Suffering is a part of our lives as Christians. We're going to suffer. It's going to come. It happens. And so now we have to think about how do we deal with that suffering, right? How do we effectively work through suffering? And so let me say it another way. Oh, sorry. If you're a Christian, you are going to suffer. And that's what Paul says here. It's not a pleasant thing to think about during the holiday season. It's not a thing that we want to just jump into. All right, where's the suffering train? I'm going to climb on that sucker. No, it's not what we want. But we need to realize that it's a part of our lives. And it's a part of our walk as Christians. And truly, how we do suffering in our lives is vitally important to those around us. It's vitally important to those around us who know that we're Christians and aren't Christians themselves, because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, man, that guy just fell apart and he's gone off the rails and is a complete mess. Or they're going to say, wow, that guy has suffered, he's lost so much in his life, but he still loves God, and everything's still okay for him. And so we have a responsibility to those around us to suffer well, too. That's my personal opinion. In this passage, Paul asked Timothy to join him in his suffering. So there's an invitation to suffer there, which is a weird thing too, right? Hey, come on down and suffer with me. If somebody called you up today and asked you to come suffer with them, would you be like, yeah, man, I'll be there. What time? 4:00? No, we don't want that, do we? But Paul's invited Timothy to suffer. And he's invited him to suffer for the gospel, right? There are a number of ways that we can suffer for the gospel. And I think that being a beacon of God's light in the world is a primary way that we end up suffering for the gospel. When we open ourselves up and show who we are to the world, we invite suffering. It's a reality of our situation as Christians. But it's okay, right? And I think that it's okay because of what Paul is saying here. He said, look, there's an avenue for suffering, but we've given you a way to handle it. And so Paul points out that there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? So all of us as Christians have the Holy Spirit inside us, right? Anybody acknowledge that? Yeah? Yes. So as when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us, right? And through the Holy Spirit, we experience grace. And God has given us grace as an avenue to deal with our suffering. Even if our suffering is in part or in whole our own responsibility, we have the grace of God that allows us to deal with that suffering and gives us an avenue to glorify God through it, right? So God doesn't say, oh man, you jaywalked, it's time for you to pay, right? God says, you jaywalked, you're gonna suffer, but I'm with you and I forgive you. And it's gonna be okay. You're gonna make it through this. Your suffering is not in vain, right? Why else might we suffer? This one I don't think Jonathan's going to be super keen about me pointing out, but do you remember what Jonathan's been talking about for the past month or so? Anybody? I know we don't have Alan here to kind of reverberate and give me something back, but anybody remember what we're talking about? Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, any of this ringing a bell, a teacher. Now listen to the next line. That is why I am suffering as I am. So Jonathan asked you to sign up for all of that, right? He asked you to be that for this church, right? What he didn't tell you is that it might bring you suffering. What he didn't tell you is that it has already brought him suffering. It certainly has brought me suffering. But I see that as a happy price that I pay for eternal life and for service of my fellow man. The people around us are important enough to me, our fellow human beings, that I'm happy to suffer for that. I'm happy to be the apostle or to be the teacher or whatever it may be and take on whatever suffering that might entail so that the people around me can know who Christ is in a meaningful and tangible way, right? I'm not talking about standing up here and just reading scripture and preaching to you guys. I'm talking about being God's hands and feet, right? That's where the suffering, this isn't going to cause me to suffer. Standing right here and telling you this and reading scripture to you isn't going to cause me to suffer. But when we are God's hands and feet to the people around us, we step into their lives, we step into their mess, and we step into their sorrows, and we step into their suffering, right? And we take that on. And part of what Jonathan's asked you to do in recognizing these traits in your life is being willing to love and suffer with those around you. And that's a massive, massive thing. Think about the people that you love best. Think about the people that you say, these people care about me the most. And I guarantee that every one of them has been there at a low point in your life when you've suffered. It's vitally important. When we think about suffering, it's often ebb and flow, right? So at some points, we go through lots of suffering in our lives, and then some points, we're in really great shape, and everything's great, and we're happy, right? And I am a pull-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps person. I mean, that's who I am, you know. Life stinks, but it's time to put on your big boy pants and go to work and do what you got to do, right? But that is not a great thing on my part, because it neglects, I take on myself the responsibility for my suffering, right? But grace says you don't have to take that responsibility on. The grace that the Holy Spirit puts in our lives, the grace that we've been bestowed, that has been bestowed upon us, says that God will take that on. It says we don't have to own that. It says we don't have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be alone, because God's with us, because he cares about us, and because he walks through those valleys with us. And he can move us through that. Where it gets really nasty is when we don't let him. Where it gets really nasty is when we own all that ourselves and don't. If we try to shoulder all those burdens ourselves, that's when life gets hard. That's when it's crushing. That's when we're beat down and bent and broken. God's there for us. He wants to take on your suffering. He wants to love you. He wants to care for you. But we have to let that happen. We can't own it ourselves, keep it ourselves. Certainly we need to own our fault in those sorts of things, but we don't have to keep it. God is willing to shoulder that and take it on for us. And it's a really, really amazing thing that keeps coming up in that passage, you know, this idea of grace. God's grace is there, you know. It's a choice we make often to live by grace or to live by the law. And if we choose to live by grace, if we choose to put our cares and burdens on Christ, who wants to take that on for us, then our life is different. Our burdens are lighter. Who we are internally is very different. We don't have to live in judgment of other people. We don't have to say, this person did that and that person did this and everything is bad and terrible. We don't have to point at others to blame our suffering on, and because we have this opportunity to let God take care of that through his grace. And so I really would encourage you to start thinking about how you allow grace to function in your life. Now, before suffering happens, because in the midst of it, you're not going to want to think about grace. You're not going to want to think about this process. But if you make grace a part of your life, if you make it where you rest now, then when hard times come, you know what to do with it. Your body already knows, your mind already knows, your soul, your spirit already knows that I am going to place my faith and trust in Christ. He's going to take care of this, and he's going to take this burden from me. I'm not saying you're not going to suffer. I'm not saying it's not going to be painful, but it's going to be bearable, because you have someone in your life, Christ, who's shouldering that burden and responsibility. The second passage I want to talk about today is the book of Job. So it's maybe a little more than a passage, but it's a significant, it's probably the most famous and significant passage, verse, section in the Bible that talks about suffering. I'm going to just give you a little brief history. I know you guys are really probably very familiar with Job already, but God and Satan sat down and they started talking about Satan said, oh, well, I can make it, you know, somebody lose their faith and walk away from you. God said, well, there's Job. Try it with him. See what happens. And so Satan began to kind of torment Job, and he took away his family and his kids and his livestock, his possessions, gave him boils and all kind of nasty stuff, right? And Job's suffering. I mean, big time suffering, right? Like big time suffering. And in the midst of all this, he's got three friends that show up. And his friends show up and start this long conversation, multiple chapters, where they're saying, Job, you were wrong for this, and you're 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 wrong for this. And they're wrong about all of it. It wasn't Job, right? These people showed up and they were just shaming him and like slamming Job and hitting him with all this stuff. And it wasn't him. He wasn't wrong in all this. And so what I want to, well, first I want to talk about, I've got four friends in my life right now that are amazing friends. Not like these folks in Job. Not the folks that show up and tell me what I'm doing wrong. But people that have come and they sat down next to us and they have cared about me, loved me, hugged me. They sat down and cried with me. They call and say, hey, let's go fishing, or, you know, come, let's do some sort of activity together. Let's go have some fun, right? Very, very special people that I felt fine sharing my suffering with. And that I've seen Christ's life and love in, and felt through them that love of Christ in my life in this time of suffering. They didn't come and tell me why I was wrong. They didn't come and tell me what I had clearly done to anger God or any of that sort of thing. They listened to me. They sat with me. They loved me. And they let the love of Christ that was within them come out of them and warm my heart and in my life. That's an amazing thing to have people like that. It's an incredible thing to have people like that. I know people in this church that have suffered just massive things. And I know that there are folks here that have walked alongside you as well. And that's a real true blessing to have people that love you and care about you and walk through your suffering with you. I mean, I can't tell you enough how important that is. And I can't tell you enough how important it is that we, as Christians, as Christ, as the body of Christ, are intentional about doing that in other people's lives. You may not be suffering right now, but I can almost guarantee that someone in your life is. I can almost guarantee that you know somebody that's suffering right now, profoundly suffering, not just a little bit. And I want to ask you, I want to challenge you today to be that friend like I have. To not take the easy road out and send an email or a Facebook message that just says, hey man, thinking about you, praying for you. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to be the friend that goes and sits with that person and cries with that person, holds them, says, hey buddy, I know you're hurting right now. Let's go grab something to eat, or let's go to a movie, or let's go bowling, or let's go for a walk in the woods, or whatever it is that you know that that person enjoys. Just that little bit, those few hours of putting your mind on something else is an amazing way that God can work through you and someone else's life. It is a very special way that you can be his hands and feet to the world, especially during this time. What better gift can you give somebody for Christmas than to love them in that sort of way, to help them feel better about the holiday season, to just give that relief for a few brief hours? I'm not going to pull this long. I've said what I want to say. What I'd like to do is I'd like everybody to kind of bow your head. And I want to use this time. We're going to take a few minutes. And if you're suffering right now, I just want you to share that with God. Be honest with him. God's big. He's big enough to handle whatever you have to say to him today. Be real, be honest, share where you are in your suffering. And I would like to ask you, for him to send someone in your life to come sit with you, to be that friend, and to share your suffering. If you're not suffering today, I'd ask you to pray that God can show you who is. Like I said, those of us that are suffering like to hide it. We don't want to be a burden to the people around us. But God knows. And he can show you the people that need your care and comfort, his care and comfort through you. So just take a few minutes and pray and listen. And listen to what God has to tell you. God, I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. I want to thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit and that your grace abounds in him and within us. God, allow us to take hold of that grace and let it transform us. Let it renew our souls. God, I pray that your grace will heal us, keep us from anger, bitterness, resentment, and that we can grow in a knowledge of you. God, I pray for wisdom, for those that are sitting in this room today, I pray that you allow everyone here to know someone that's suffering around them. Give them the wisdom to know how to communicate well with them, to honestly and earnestly speak into their lives, and to share your love. God, I pray for healing. And I pray that as we live our lives and as we suffer, that we glorify you. Amen.